Hi, I'm Laura from Hudson at the Hudson Farmers Market. You're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM Hands-On Radio.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And we are celebrating Martin Luther King's birthday today with some terrible local news. There were three white supremacists parading in a village park in Chatham on January 14th. We'll hear about that and a reaction protest that's scheduled for later this week. Plus, we'll hear about a member of the Oath Keepers group, member locally in the Hudson Valley, was one of those arrested nationally for sedition charges in conjunction with the January 6th insurrection in Washington, D.C. last year. We'll also hear which local cable system just added a national hate network that has just been dropped by DirecTV for being a hate network, and now it's been added to a local cable system. So we'll hear all that good news and more on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned on this Martin Luther King Jr. birthday.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of FET Press in Hudson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Columbia Green Media reports that a part of the Columbia Memorial Health Hospital building in Hudson was closed off early January 16th. After the hospital's sprinkler system froze because of a power outage, resulting in some flooding. Part of the hospital's emergency department and the imaging area were affected by the water damage, CMH spokesperson Bill Van Slyke said. Hudson firefighters were called to Columbia Memorial after water from the sprinkler system caused ceiling tiles to fall. Ambulance traffic was temporarily redirected, but the emergency department remained open and available for walk-in care. Quote, "We expect the impacted areas will be back in operation later today or tomorrow," unquote, Van Slyke said on January 16th. He said the large power outage that impacted more than 5,000 Columbia County National Grid customers early Sunday morning was to blame for the hospital's flooding. The power outage caused cold air to infiltrate a mechanical area above the imaging unit and emergency department, causing a sprinkler head to freeze and burst. Colby Memorial ran on generator power for several hours before the sprinkler head froze. When the generator is activated, air louvers are automatically opened, which let enough cold air in to freeze the sprinkler head, said Nick Piero, Hudson Fire Department's second assistant chief. During the power outage, outdoor temperatures hovered around minus 2 degrees Fahrenheit. When firefighters arrived around 5:40 a.m., they found multiple ceiling tiles had fallen and a lot of water, Piero said. Firefighters and Columbia County emergency personnel remained on the scene for several hours Sunday morning. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com.
Andrea Makel reports in Porcupine Soup that about two dozen people attended a vigil January 13th for Jason Jones, the 29-year-old Catskill man who died after being shot with a taser by village police. Jones burst into flames after the taser shot and after a long stay in the burn unit of a Syracuse hospital died. The vigil was held in front of the Catskill Police Station, where organizers and attendees calling for police accountability and improved mental health services within the community. A video was released of the police incident last week, showing Jones dousing himself with hand sanitizer in the village police station, and then one of three officers fires a taser shot. Jones burst into flames, and the officers flee the scene rather than directing aid toward the injured man. The incident happened in the early hours of October 31st, and Jones died December 15th. The New York State Attorney General's office is now investigating the incident. Here is a short excerpt of the vigil through the Catskill streets, recorded on a live WGXC web stream by volunteer programmer Neva Wartell.
What's going down?
The Justice for Jason was organized by Catskill native Thomas Kearney, who said Jones was a, and I quote, man in distress, end quote, who needed, and I quote, compassion and empathy, end quote. Jones' biological mother, Mary Jo Snyder, attended the vigil. Snyder said, and I quote, Jason had his issues, but everyone loved him. I wish I could have spent more time with him, end quote. An anonymous woman who said she was friends with Jones said, and I quote, while it's too late for Jason going forward, my hope is that the police will be properly trained and these three men will be reprimanded, not just for Jason, but also to prove to this community that there is accountability and that nothing like this ever happens again, end quote. The names of the three Catskill Village police seen in the video have not yet been released, and the Attorney General's office investigation continues. WGXC volunteer programmer Neva Wartell attended the vigil and made a recording that can be heard in the WGXC audio archives. Read more about this story at Porcupine Soup.
Hate Watch Report, a local tracker of racist and right-wing activity, reports that three people from the New York chapter of the hate group White Lives Matter held a banner January 14th in front of the gazebo in the park in Chatham. The group has been recently placing recruitment stickers on park benches, parking meters, utility poles, and road signs in Hudson and Stockport, and have posted a video of a meetup in North Greenbush. On January 14th, three white supremacists were seen holding a banner for the group in the village square in Chatham. The identity of the three racists was obscured by masks and winter clothing. The Southern Poverty Law Center, which tracks hate groups nationally, says the White Lives Matter group first formed in Texas about 7 years ago by leaders associated with neo-Nazi groups. In response, the Hate Watch Report group is urging local residents to attend a counter-protest at noon, Wednesday, January 19th, at the Village of Chatham Gazebo.
Mid-Hudson News reports that Roberto Minuta, a 37-year-old Newburgh tattoo parlor shop owner, on January 13th, was among over a dozen members of the Oath Keepers indicted by a federal grand jury on charges of seditious conspiracy in connection with the January 6, 2021 attempted coup of the U.S. government. Minuta, who now lists an address of Prosper, Texas, is charged with being among a group of oath keepers that forced their way into the U.S. Capitol building. A seditious conspiracy charge carries a maximum penalty of 20 years in prison. The oath keepers are a right-wing group with many members of the military and police. Former Representative John Faso, a Republican, spoke at one of their Hudson Valley events a few years ago. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News.
Kayla Simas is reporting for SIAdvance.com that state residents who qualify for food assistance through the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, could see extra money in their accounts starting this week. Governor Kathy Hochul announced last week that New York's food assistance program would receive an additional $230 million in funding. Quote, as we continue to endure the difficulties of the pandemic, too many New Yorkers are struggling to make ends meet, unquote, Hochul said. Quote, these additional food benefits will play a critical role in eliminating food insecurity throughout the state, unquote. All New Yorkers enrolled in SNAP will receive the maximum allowable benefits for January, and those already at the maximum level will receive a supplement by the end of the month. Families could receive the maximum benefit level, which is $835 for a family of four. Those who already receive the maximum benefit could receive a stipend close to $100. Supplemental benefits can be used to purchase food at authorized retail food stores, and unused funds will carry over to next month. Read more about this story at siadvance.com.
Shanice Holmes Brown reports in the Times Union that Albany County Executive Dan McCoy reported the most new COVID cases in his county's history on January 14th with 1,586. And he says the latest wave has not peaked locally yet. McCoy said, and I quote, while New York as a whole is showing signs of statewide COVID-19 infections possibly hitting their peak, that is clearly not the case for Albany County, as we report nearly 1,600 new positive cases in a single day, the highest increase we've ever experienced since the pandemic started nearly 2 years ago, end quote. He also announced two more deaths, a woman in her 40s and another in her 90s. There are also 113 Albany County residents hospitalized with coronavirus, which is actually down by 12 from the day before. Of those patients, 18 are in intensive care. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Kate Lisa is reporting for Johnson Newspaper Corporation that Governor Kathy Hochul on January 14th signed a bill into law that allows government bodies in New York to continue to hold meetings and other public business remotely until the COVID-19 public health emergency ends. Lawmakers in September voted to temporarily amend the open meetings law and permit public bodies to hold municipal meetings via telephone or video conference through January 15th. State Committee on Open Government Executive Director Shoshana Boley said she had expected the governor to sign the extension. The bill, sponsored by Senator Jim Gaughren, will extend the previous open meetings law modifications and permit any public body to hold meetings remotely without in-person access as long as the audio or video is recorded and released to the public. The bill allows remote public meetings to continue until the governor terminates the COVID-19 state of emergency with notification to the legislature by the state health department commissioner. Leaders with the Assembly Democrats did not respond to requests for comment about the measure or remote public meetings. State Coalition for Open Government President Paul Wolf is disappointed, he said, because the bill does not mandate meeting recordings be posted online for the public. The bill mandates the recordings be made available to the public, but not how. The provision also does not require public comment sessions to be held at municipal meetings. Quote, that has been a real problem during the virtual meetings, unquote, Wolf said. Quote, it's disappointing. We've expressed these concerns months ago, and no effort has been done, unquote. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
You don't need a weatherman to know that many inches of snow have fallen on the ground today, our first major plowable, shovelable storm this season. And the National Weather Service in Albany has issued a winter storm warning that stays in effect through 10 p.m. on Monday evening. The forecast for Martin Luther King Day, the snow could turn to rain or freezing rain before it ends, and temperatures should only reach a high of 35 degrees. There's a chance for occasional snow showers Monday night, but mostly it'll be cloudy with a low around 14 and wind chill values as low as negative 1. Tuesday should be sunny with a high of 21, but again, wind chill values as low as negative 1 are forecast on Tuesday. Tuesday night should be partly cloudy with a low around 8. Wednesday, isolated snow showers are again in the forecast. There's a 20% chance, with cloudy skies and a high of 35 on Wednesday and a low around 20. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ear. Tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the radio at WGXC on Tuesday, January 18th, including at 9 a.m., Eric Weltman of Food and Water Watch previews the legislative agenda in Albany this year around the climate issues. Then at 10 a.m., Justin Maiman is live in Acre with the Ginger Radio Hour on WGXC. At 11 a.m., hear tracks from Priscilla McLean, Gil Mele, Bruno Menny, and others on the Early Electro Mix program. Then at noon, after the local news, DJ Patty Boom celebrates his first anniversary on the air at WGXC, playing rock, funk, punk, reggae, and more. At 3 p.m., it's time for the Radio Art Hour, today with Yvette Janine Jackson and Diana Chen featured. And at 6 p.m., tune in WGXC's local news program All Together Now with the WGXC Congressional Report featured today about what Representatives Antonio Delgado, Paul Tonko, and the folks who want to challenge them in the election later this year were doing this week. Hear it all on 90.7 WGXC or WGXC.org.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Monday, January 17th, the citizens of Hudson are celebrating Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday with a holiday observance that begins at 11 a.m. with a motorcade preceding the rally. Vehicles line up at 10:30 a.m. at the Columbia and North 6th Street parking lot in Hudson. At the conclusion of the motorcade, there will be a short presentation on the steps of the Shiloh Baptist Church at 14 Warren Street in Hudson, and there will be special guest speakers and more. That is Monday, January 17th, from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., Martin Luther King Day in Hudson. Tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the radio at WGXC on Tuesday, January 18th, including at 9 a.m., Eric Weltman of Food and Water Watch previews the legislative agenda in Albany this year around the climate issues. Then at 10 a.m., Justin Maiman is live in Acre with the Ginger Radio Hour on WGXC. At 11 a.m., hear tracks from Priscilla McLean, Gil Mele, Bruno Menny, and others on the Early Electro Mix program. Then at noon, after the local news, DJ Patty Boom celebrates his first anniversary on the air at WGXC, playing rock, funk, punk, reggae, and more. At 3 p.m., it's time for the Radio Art Hour, today with Yvette Janine Jackson and Diana Chen featured. And at 6 p.m., tune in WGXC's local news program All Together Now with the WGXC Congressional Report featured today about what Representatives Antonio Delgado, Paul Tonko, and the folks who want to challenge them in the election later this year were doing this week. Hear it all on 90.7 WGXC or WGXC.org.
Hello and welcome to the Better Weather for Monday, January 17th. We are 4.1% of the way through the year. We got 62 days left until spring. Early morning temperatures range from 26 in Tuscan to 37 already in Netherwood. That is an example of what we're going to see for the rest of the day. Winter advisories are out for the area, and the weather is going to be drastically different from one end of the listening area to the next. River Valley areas could see freezing rain by sunrise, transitioning to rain by noon. The mountains could see snowfall most of the day with up to 2 inches per hour possible in some places. Use extreme caution if traveling today. A high of 36 is expected at 1 p.m. Refreezing will occur after 5 p.m. A low of 21 is expected by dawn. Tomorrow will be dry with a high of 25 degrees at noon. Blowing snow could be a concern. 16 degrees overnight takes us into a relatively warm Wednesday. A high of 38 is expected in the afternoon, along with some light snow and rain. Thursday will be dry with a high of 26. Friday looks dry and cold with a high of 16. The warmest temperature expected this week is 39 degrees. The coldest temperature expected is 3. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 2:36 a.m., low tide at 8:44 a.m., high tide again at 2:41 p.m., and low tide again at 9:34 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 32 degrees. Sunset today will be at 4:35 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:16 a.m. Looking way up, we see geomagnetic storms are possible today as a coronal mass ejection is expected to give us a glancing blow. Solar wind speed is currently 551 kilometers per second at 10.4 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 103. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Sandra of New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
WGXC helps you sleep at night and stay awake in the daytime. Whether at work or play, in good times and in bad, no matter the weather, community radio brings you local news, agricultural information, music and sounds, oratory, and radio stews.
90.7 FM, WGXC.
Child. tomorrow night, yeah.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
We have to make sure that national service reflects the diversity of the country and the communities we serve, making sure that folks in communities that are being served not only see themselves as someone that can be served, but someone that is serving.
AmeriCorps CEO Michael Smith on Martin Luther King Jr. Day of Service. Across America, people are giving back by helping at food banks, cleaning up public spaces, and assisting seniors. All four hostages were safely released after a day-long standoff at a Texas synagogue. Police rescued a rabbi and congregants held by a man who claimed to have weapons and explosives. The suspect, a 44-year-old British citizen, is dead. The Southeast has been walloped by a winter storm. Heavy snows and freezing temperatures in places that don't normally get them. The National Guard helped free trapped motorists in South Carolina. Former President Donald Trump held a Save America rally in Arizona, where he called President Joe Biden a, quote, disaster.
Inflation is the worst it's been in 40 years. Gas prices are up 50%. The grocery shelves, the department store shelves, they're empty.
Trump endorsed GOP Arizona gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake. Lake said she would not have certified the 2020 election. A Republican, Glenn Youngkin, was sworn in as Virginia's 74th governor Saturday and delivered his inaugural address in Richmond.
Together, we will renew the promise of Virginia so it will be the best place to live and work and raise a family.
Youngkin signed nearly a dozen first-day executive orders, lifting a mask mandate in public schools and banning the teaching of critical race theory. Critics say it's not taught now. Senior Biden administration officials warn the U.S. could support Ukrainian resistance if President Vladimir Putin invades. Columbia University professor Rajan Menon says U.S.-Russia relations have built-in tensions based on the threats each nation sees.
Both sides have a very stylized vision of the threat that each poses to the other. And in some particular respects, that is accurate.
Russia has massed 100,000 troops near the Ukrainian border. Unemployment overall is near historic lows, but a new WalletHub study finds 230,000 Americans filed during the first week of January. The uptick coincides with the spread of Omicron. The White House says households can order free at-home COVID tests starting this week at the website covidtest.gov. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy warned that winter will be tough as Omicron continues to surge. I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Thank you.
That was from the album Amassed from Spring Hill Jack and Daniel Carter on reeds. The song's called Lit on the radio at WGXC. I'm Tom Rowe with WGXC in Acre with this week's WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 19th and 20th congressional seats in New York. Current Democratic Representatives Antonio Delgado and Paul Tonko vote with the positions of President Joe Biden 100% of the time, according to the 538.com website. This week, Representatives Antonio Delgado, who represents the 19th Congressional District in Greene, Columbia, Rensselaer, and other counties, and Paul Tonko, who represents the 20th in Albany County and other areas, both voted together with most other Democrats on several measures. On January 14th, they both voted for a joint resolution relating to increasing the debt limit that passed 220 to 212 on a straight party vote. Tonko and Delgado also voted January 14th for, quote, recommending that the House of Representatives find Mark Randall Meadows in contempt of Congress for a refusal to comply with a subpoena duly issued by the Select Committee to investigate the January 6th attack on the United States Capitol, unquote. That measure passed 222 to 208, with all Democrats and two Republicans, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, voting in favor. And both Delgado and Tonko voted for the, quote, Combating International Islamophobia Act, unquote, that passed 219 to 212 on a straight party vote January 14th. The biggest news this week for New York's congressional delegation may have happened at Mar-a-Lago in Florida. Aaron Sabone at the Adirondack Daily Enterprise reported that on January 11th, in a letter to the House clerk, North County Representative Elise Stefanik said she'd be unable to physically attend the government proceedings that day because of, quote, the ongoing public health emergency, unquote. But that was not actually the reason. Stefanik lied to the House clerk and instead attended a fundraiser, largely unmasked, with former President Donald Trump at his Mar-a-Lago resort. Quote, Elise Stefanik outright lied when she claimed a public health emergency prohibited her from showing up to work, but then appeared at a political event with former President Trump in Mar-a-Lago that day, unquote. Matt Castelli, a Democrat running against Stefanik for New York's 21st congressional seat, wrote in a statement. Stefanik brought Gary Kosser, New York's Conservative Party chair, to the event. Quote, it was really a New York crowd, unquote, Kosser said. Quote, Trump may be down in Florida, but he's a New Yorker. He talked about the troubles due to the economy. It was a great time. My wife and I had a very good time. I was happy to see him and interact. The crowd was up close, unquote. Stefanik, who voted to throw out fair election results last January in an effort to keep Trump president, was photographed with him. Other locals at the right-wing fundraiser, according to the New York Post, included Thomas D'Ambra, the CEO of an Albany-area pharmaceutical company, Pharmapothica A, and formerly Albany Molecular Research Incorporated, and John Hendrickson, Adirondack Park landowner and Saratoga Springs horse stable owner, and Edward Foy Jr., who owns the Chateau on the Lake restaurant. Liz Joy, a Republican who is running against Tonko for a second time, was photographed at the former president's fundraiser, but no photos online show her with Trump. Joy did attend the Stop the Steal rally at the U.S. Capitol last January 6th. On January 14th, Stefanik and Delgado found common ground on one issue, both signing a letter to Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra and Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Administrator Brooks LeSure, requesting some rural New York hospitals retain their critical access hospital status. Quote, while our rural New York hospitals combat COVID-19 and take care of patients, we must ensure they have the resources necessary to provide critical services, unquote, the Democrat said. Quote, changing the eligibility criteria for the critical access hospital designation hurts our upstate hospitals and makes it harder for rural New Yorkers to receive care. I will keep working with my colleagues on this issue to help support our hospitals and communities, unquote. Stefanik agreed. Quote, North County country families depend on rural hospitals to provide life-saving care and treatments, unquote, the Republican said. Quote, taking away the designation of critical access hospitals will be harmful to our health care system and harmful to North Country patients. I am proud to take a stand with Congressman Delgado to ensure critical access hospitals can maintain their status and provide critical care to residents of the North Country, unquote. This has been the WGXC Congressional Report. Go online to the WGXC Newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about this report. This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. While the news of the anniversary of the January 6th attempt to overthrow the United States government may seem far away from the Hudson Valley, there are many ripples here. Mid-Hudson News reported this week that Roberto Minuta, 37-year-old Newburgh tattoo parlor shop owner on January 13th, was among over a dozen members of the Oath Keepers indicted by a federal grand jury on charges of seditious conspiracy in connection with the January 6th riot. Minuto now lists an address of Prosper, Texas as home and is charged with being among a group of Oath Keepers that forced their way into the U.S. Capitol building. The Oath Keepers are a right-wing group that have many members of the military and police in their midst, and the group has ties to the Hudson Valley. This week on WGXC, Columbia County resident Michael Richardson, one of the people behind the Hate Watch report, explained that the Oath Keepers have ties to the Chatham area, the former Greene County Sheriff, and former Representative John Faso from Kinderhook. Here is Richardson tracing some of the history of white power movements locally.
They didn't come from anywhere. They've always been here. They just had different names. Way back when, they were the Klan. Not so long ago, they were the Oath Keepers. Few people know that Columbia County was a focal point for the Oath Keepers all the way up until 2009. It started in 2009. From 2009 all the way up until 2017, yep. Columbia County was the headquarters for Oath Keepers in New York State.
Yeah, didn't our former congressperson speak at the Oath Keepers around?
Yes. There is a Hate Watch report that featured a YouTube video where Faso is speaking. He's the lead speaker. He introduces the Constitutional Sheriff Award. And, of course, the MC of this is the former John Wallace, the former chair of the Chatham Republicans. And he had the statewide office out of his home here in Chatham, New York. So a few people recognize that just as late as 2017, when John Wallace died, that the headquarters of Oath Keepers New York was here. The Oath Keepers started in 2009 at the same time that Rhodes started up the Oath Keepers nationwide. And Rhodes spoke at all three of the award dinners, the second award dinner being that one that Faso spoke at. And that also gets on to another Hate Watch report that we had last year on the Constitutional Sheriff Movement. We often get these questions about, well, have the far right penetrated into police departments and what type of vetting is going on? And we wanted to point out, well, what good is vetting if the person doing the vetting is an Oath Keeper? And that was the case right in Greene County. And still to the case up in Lewis County and a few other places in New York State, where they are strong, strong members of the constitutional movement. And if you take an opinion for mine to be of any value, I'm more worried about the Constitutional Sheriff Movement than I am the Oath Keepers. When it comes to the Oath Keepers, I think most people took down their banner and crawled back into their hole, but they reemerged in a different manifestation.
The so-called One America News Network is one of the outlets groups such as the Oath Keepers use to spread propaganda. The One America Network got really bad news nationally this week and good news locally. On January 14th, reports emerged that DirecTV, one of the largest U.S. pay TV providers, will drop the One America News Network. That is very bad news for the network known for spreading misinformation and having a loyal fan in former President Donald Trump. DirecTV is its largest distributor, and losing its distribution means far fewer people will see their propaganda. The channel is still carried on Verizon Fios, but has never been carried by Comcast Corporation, Charter Communications Incorporated, or Dish Network Corporation. But OAN could announce new distribution this week, as Mid-Hudson Cable, based in Catskill, added the network and another from owner Herring Networks Incorporated, a lifestyle channel AWE that stands for A Wealth of Entertainment. Mid-Hudson Cable already carries Newsmax, another propaganda network masquerading as a news channel, and Fox News, where a judge ruled recently that Tucker Carlson's show could not be considered news. U.S. District Judge Mary Kay Viscoso's 2020 opinion said in part that, quote, the general tenor of the show should then inform a viewer that Carlson is not, quote, stating actual facts, unquote, about the topics he discusses and is instead engaging in, quote, exaggeration, unquote, and, quote, non-literal commentary, unquote. Whoa, yeah.
And New Dawn is awakened, yet nothing has changed. Our freedom was once taken, don't wanna live no more in chains. That's why I call a black liberation struggle. No, give up the fight, no, no. Cause it's a black liberation struggle. Man and man unite. Every time I open my mouth, the wicked, yeah, just trying to get me out. But it's a black liberation struggle. Now give up the fight, no, no, no. I'm it's a black liberation struggle. Peasants and all unite. There must be some change, yeah. Cause Jah got all men into his range. Don't give up. Please live up. Don't give up. Please live up. Yet nothing has changed. Our freedom was once taken. I don't wanna live no more in shame. That's why I called a black liberation struggle.
If you are snowed in on Martin Luther King Day, January 17th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on 90.7 FM, including at 10 a.m. The legendary Fela is the featured artist on the Afrosonic Taxi. Then at 11 a.m., live from the WGXC Hudson studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street, Brenda Donegan is playing favorites with Elila Dana Houghton. Then at noon, after the local news on the Deep Three show, hear tracks from Spring Hill Jack, Sarah Stewart, and the Chicago Underground Trio, among others. Then there's brand new music from around the world at 2 p.m. on the Vital Weekly show on WGXC, with tracks today from Mauricio Reyes, Ali Newton, Liz Albi, and others. At 3 p.m., Catalina Barroso-Lugue and Ferona Wenberg are the featured artists on the Radiophrenia Redux show on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. Released January 29th, 2021, Yvette Janine Jackson's album Freedom comprises her groundbreaking radio operas Destination Freedom and Invisible People. The album features sleeve notes by acclaimed African-American cultural critic Gregory Tate, with cover art by Nate Lewis. Here's the first of the two radio operas, Destination Freedom, which takes the listener inside a cargo hold of a tall ship transporting Africans to the Americas. The work was derived from Jackson's research into the oral histories of those born into slavery and unfolds in three intertwined scenes. The cargo hold of a tall ship transporting Africans to the Americas, a disorienting journey that traverses time, and the arrival into the weightlessness of outer space.